Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. So last week we didn't do an episode. We did the Friday episode with Ed Lattimore, which unfortunately had all those sound issues, recording issues. I don't know the solution to that. Until I figure that out, I'm not going to have any more guests on because what's the point if half of it gets lost in some sort of strange technical, I don't know, feel bad, you know? So I apologize about that. But then last week I took the week off to write a book. So if you didn't know, if you're not on the social media, I wrote a book in 7 days. So I talked to Ed Lattimore on Friday at about 2 o'clock. And he was telling me how he published his book. And then I thought, that's interesting. So the idea for my book came from the comedian Michael Ian Black announced, it was probably a month ago now, that he's going to write a book on masculinity. And I thought, yeah, there's a need for that. And I remember him from the state a long time ago. I did a whole episode on masculinity, kind of trashed him. But so I looked into his thing, and he's one of those toxic masculinity guys. Like, oh, men, you know, men should cry, and men should be like women, and men should not be men. And so I thought, all right, so here's this famous-ish person who's going to write this book, and people are going to buy it. There needs to be a counter book. There needs to be like a masculinity book. And then some other blue famous blue check guy came out with a tweet on Twitter about how just how basically men are evil. Men commit murder. Men make war. Men are the problem. And he said, women should run everything. I was like, all right, that's it. I'm writing the book. And then Jay Murray told me if I would write it, he would write the foreword. So that got the idea going. I needed to write this book. And then talking to Ed Lattimore. And then last week was a weird 7 days. My family was out of town visiting my wife's family. So I had nothing to do in the evenings, you know, aside from the usual. So, I mean, it was a regular week. I worked my two jobs. I got some stuff done around the house and fixed the gutter on the front of the house and took care of the yard and did some painting my wife wanted done while she was away and wrote a book in 7 days. I figured that was good. Write it in 7 days. The way a man should write a book, right? Don't be playing around. Sit down and write that book. So the book is called The Toxic Masculinity Crisis. So I'll let you in on the gag or the joke. The title is kind of a joke. The title is about the toxic masculinity crisis. The title, The Toxic Masculinity Crisis, is about these men and some women, I guess, going around saying that there's such a thing as toxic masculinity. And that is a crisis. All the young boys out there that hear that nonsense grow up thinking they shouldn't be who they are. It's kind of stupid in this era of be who you are. People who say they're elves are being supported, but young men are being told not to be men. So that's what the title's about. But I did think to myself, I will call it that because some of these people, Michael Ian Black types, will read the title and think it's about how evil men are and buy it. And I thought that would be fun. So right now, I sent a copy over to Jay Murray to write the foreword, as he promised he would do. So I should have that back, I think, this week. Then, this weekend, I'm going to edit it. I already thought of some things I left out I need to add in. Well, I was at church yesterday, and I was making notes on my little program there, where they leave that space on the back for you to take notes. I was cheating. I was taking notes for my book. Hold on a second. So, taking notes for the book, and I gotta get that added in, and then I'm gonna kind of read through it, make sure it makes sense, make sure I don't repeat myself too much. All that. The book will go to the this happens fast. The book goes to the publisher Sunday night. This coming. And then it will be available before August 1st. I'm going to say August 1st because I don't know what day. But it will be available August 1st on Amazon.com and for your Kindle. And right now it will be available nowhere else. But considering that that's the biggest bookseller on the planet, I thought, that'll be all right. If you're going to pick one right now, that's the one to pick. So that's it. The Toxic Masculinity Crisis by Dennis M. Brown. Setting young people straight. There's a bunch of stories in there from my own life. There's stories of, like, retelling of hero stories to remind people what we're doing here. There's a chapter on being a father. There's a chapter on, you know, how to be a father. There's a chapter on how this all started. There's a lot of things about what the patriarchy really is, what masculinity really is, what the point is, what your job is. All that's in the book. And it's not long. It's probably going to end up about, I'm going to say, 110 pages. Somewhere in that neighborhood. So it won't take you too long to read it. And the price of the book, I get people asking me about what the price is going to be. It's not coming out hardcovers. It's just paperbacks. And I believe the price is going to be $12.99, which is a deal. I feel like a lot of books now are a lot more money. And the books that come out in hardcover first, when they come out in paperback, are a little bit cheaper, I think. So maybe, I don't know. Maybe I should go cheaper. Maybe I'll talk to the publisher about that. I'm coming down a little bit. I don't know. What do you think? Let me know what you think. Would you pay $12.99 for it? I don't want anyone to not buy it because it's too expensive. I want everyone to give it to the young men in their lives. Little back to school present for your college age nephew, whatever. They're headed off to school with something to remind them of who they are before they meet all those communist professors to tell them that men are evil and America's evil. You can set them straight early. So the other thing I wanted to talk about was the World Cup. Not that I especially care one way or the other about soccer or the World Cup, but two things happened that I thought were of interest. One was that people started complaining that the World Cup was too white. That the teams that were succeeding were European teams. Okay, listen. It is an athletic tournament. It doesn't have feelings. It doesn't care where you're from or what country you're from. In fact, if you look at the teams from the quote-unquote white countries, a lot of the players aren't white. It's an athletic contest. You can't have a race And then at the end be like, oh, the winners are two, whatever. This is not a social science experiment. This is sport. There's a set of rules. There's teams that show up that fit certain guidelines and requirements, which are pretty loose, by the way. But the best teams these countries can put together, and they play. And the teams that win go on and play other teams that win. And eventually you're left with one team. And that team is called the champion. And that's how it works. And this time it was France. And other times it's been Argentina or Brazil or Germany or I don't know. With the girls, it's been the United States. Croatia just played in the finals. Half the world never even heard of Croatia. So they got to do that. That's exciting for them. And you got social justice warriors in New York City and London and Los Angeles talking about it's too white. What are you talking about? Don't worry. It'll be less white real soon. Because about 5 or 6 years ago, China decided they wanted to compete in the World Cup, and they started importing youth soccer coaches from all over the world and paying them salaries to coach child soccer teams in China. So pretty soon it'll be awfully Chinese. Because they have a billion people, and they only need 11. They only need 11 really good soccer players. They have a lot to pick from. So if they're taking it serious, they're going to win. That's how that works. And they're doing it the right way. The reason that the same countries succeed in the World Cup year after year after year after year, the European countries, South America, is because those are the countries that take soccer really seriously. And by really, really seriously, I mean children start playing at very young ages. The majority of children. It's the same reason that in the Caribbean and some Latin American countries in the United States, baseball is so dominant. Because all the kids play from really young. So if all the kids play, some of them are really good. So anytime you have a whole country full of people doing something from a really, really young age, learning the fundamentals and kind of seeing who's really talented and who can do it, you're going to dominate. Which, although, you know, come to think of it, tons of kids in the U.S. play soccer, so why do we stink at it? I don't know. But we do. You'd think we'd be better. By now. I think we competed well in the 50s and 60s in soccer. And now we don't. So, I don't know what to say about that. But the other thing I wanted to talk about, aside from athletic contests not being racist by definition, like just think of how stupid that is. You had a weightlifting contest and the guy who wins is not the color you want him to be. What? No, it's just who can pick up the most weight. Individual people. Individual teams. Doesn't matter what color you are, what country you come from. You win or you lose. God, communists are horrible. So, but the other thing was, after France won, I guess yesterday, they started having celebrations in the street, which is nice to see. It's nice to see people having a good time. And then it turned crazy. And then it turned into a riot. And then they're fighting in the street. And then they're flipping over cars. And then they're lighting cars on fire. And then they're smashing businesses' windows and stealing things. Then they're stealing scooters and helmets and people. Can we not burn our own cities down when we win something? Is that possible? Like, it used to be back in the day, you had a city that you built and you cared about, and you put a wall around it, because if your neighbors got a hold of your city, they would steal everything and burn it. That would be their victory, not your victory. Your own city burning and people stealing things from businesses in your city was not victory, but defeat. Now it's the way we celebrate victory in some places. I don't understand. And I get that maybe it's just some jerks who are taking advantage of the fact that it's a celebration to go ahead and destroy. Y'all gotta rein those jerks in. You can't steal a television set or a scooter because France won the World Cup, French people. Come on. This happened years ago when Montreal Canadiens won the Stanley Cup in ice hockey. they burned Montreal. Mind-boggling. Don't understand it. So, yeah. So, I think we're... And for 4 years now. I think we got to wait 4 years for another World Cup. Thank goodness. Stop talking about it. So, listen, have a great day. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. We'll probably have 4 episodes this week. And then this weekend, editing the book. And then probably a week after that, the book will be out. But definitely by August 1st. So, we're going to have August 1st be the official release of the book, The Toxic Masculinity Crisis. Make sure you get a copy. So thanks for tuning into the podcast. Have a fantastic day today, and we will catch you next time.